Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking. Chris, shrinking, nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got some rappers with that cold broke face. They tour around the world, then they going no place. My KRS one moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before, me slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting bullshit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Real revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame, but the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic at all, but he just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique, it was special.
Can you see by the dawn so proudly we hailed at the twilight land gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright
oh, the time.
about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven. Bring me the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoices rise high. Loud as the Georgia. God of our weariness, God of our solitudes, thou who has brought us this far.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you. We're going to be doing a show on, when we do a show on the Nigerian girls. A lot of people have been asking how come I haven't touched on those Nigerian girls, and I'm going to do the show on that. I'm sorry for the inconsistencies about my programming, but it's hard running a campaign and doing a radio show. I'll be in and out. I'll be in and out of the studio. Don't hit it yet because I'm on my way to the studio now. So I got a couple of little stuff. I programmed for you earlier, but I should be there for the phone call at 347-838-9825. And I'm FaceTiming my little engineer now. I got a brand new engineer, so he should be looking at me now. And I'm on my way there, Jim. Okay, now you press the stuff.
Love. my very life today. If I don't get some shelter, oh yeah, I'm gonna fade away.
Welcome to another episode, Underground Railroad Radio. We back with our weekly segment, Professor Griff, Sister Zaza Ali. We want to tell everybody welcome and thank you for tuning in. Today's show, we're going to, but before we get into today's show, Griff, I know you texted me in the middle of the week. You was going to be in Philly. Is anything you got coming up so that people could know about, just in case, you know, before the next show?
Yeah, but well, the day of the next show, Wednesday, Zaza will be doing the last installment of her 4-week lecture series dealing with Black Matters, which is the name of her book, and that will be in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Helpful Essence Cafe on the West End, and they could just give me a call, 678-557-2919 to get more information on that. And what are you dealing with, the last subject?
Rebuilding the Black Family
is the last installment. And these subject matters come from her book, Black Matters, because matters. That's right.
Right. Okay, yeah, no, definitely. Hit Griff up, y'all. Definitely hit Griff up, because I had a couple of people hit me up asking me what's going on with you and where can they see you lecture. And,
I'll be up your way. Me and Zaza, we're doing this thing July 13th in Harlem. I Self Lord and Master. We're doing it with King Simon.
King Simon told me about that. Okay, cool. So y'all all heard that. You know, I mean, from last week, I'm going to tell you, Griff, from the last show last week, we had over 10,000 listeners from last week's show dealing with Donald Sterling. So people tuning in and they're listening, so you got to promote what's going on. You and Sister Zaza, y'all two on fire right now, and the people want to know what's going on, but we're going to get right into the show. We ain't going to waste too much time. All over the news, Professor Griff, Sister Zaza, we got this thing, the hashtag, Bring Back Our Girls. So I want to talk to you two. I want to see what's going on. If something's going on, I want to bring it to the light. If I bring it to the light, I'm going to bring it to light with the proper perspective from something that's not happening from mainstream, that's just going to water down, sugarcoat it, and lie to us. So either one of you, Professor Griff, Sister Zaza, Nigeria, over 300 girls kidnapped from a school. What is going on? Let's just start out like that. What's going on with that? What, according to your research and studying, what's going on with that?
I think it's safe to say, just as a foundationary statement to lay a base, I think it's safe to say that Africa, since the time that we can remember, the whole idea of them coming into Africa, if we can remember that time frame in history, I think Africa has been in turmoil. And I think this is just the latest to bring not only the corruption to light, to bring America's involvement to light, to bring the Nigerians in America, to bring them to the forefront of a discussion, the global economic summit that's taken place in and around Africa and even on the African continent. I think there's a lot of things that are at stake here, and I think it's not only timely, but we need to have this particular discussion. So what's going on? I think what's going on is a global kind of telescope being put on the whole of Africa, all right, and then using Nigeria as a red flag being raised to begin to have these discussions about Africa, especially coming from Africans in America. All right, hold on.
Peace, brother. I would say there is Africa is, well, Nigeria in particular, is just another, it's evidence, more evidence of the global hemorrhaging that is happening for our people throughout the world as far as being constricted and restricted by colonialism and imperialism. There's an article on this website called Wonulatahajin. I can't say it, but I can spell it. But basically, in the article, it talks about the fact that the United States armed Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia armed Libya, and Libya armed Malia and Boko Haram. So I know I'm kind of jumping the gun. We're going to get into the specifics of that, but there's always a trail. And a few years back, I think it was 2 or 3 years back, the United States signed I think it was $86 billion arms deal with Saudi Arabia. Well, where did all these weapons go? All of these things are trickling down into the hands of rebels and, you know, terrorists, whatever you want to call them. But the flip side of that, because, of course, racism, white supremacy is always somewhere rearing its ugly head. But the other aspect is that, you know, we have real serious issues in Africa that we need to address, like the men. Where are the men in Nigeria who are standing up and taking control of what's happening there? And also the surrounding countries that border Nigeria. We pulled up some information on there's some very wealthy countries that surround Nigeria. So my first thought was, of course, you know, our heart goes out to the family and those young sisters, and we are praying, we are seriously praying for their safe return. My first thought was, what are we really that crippled as a people that we have to continuously depend on white people, Europeans, and Western nations to come in and rescue us every time we get in some trouble? And if you've read Confessions of an Economic Hitman, then you know that what they do is they create the problem, then they go in and fix the problem to look like the saviors. Now, I'm not saying that somebody tapped the bug into whoever did this ear to make them do this, but looking at Africa, and we glamorize Africa, and we talk about all the beauty and the motherland and all the greatness of it, we really have to step back and think, these are black African men who are kidnapping these young sisters, regardless of religion, regardless of tribal affiliation, regardless of all the small innuendo things that we have to talk about. This is another form of black male genocide against black females. And I think that that's a conversation that I'm not really seeing our people having. Of course, we don't expect the major news to have that conversation, but we are, as a people, aren't really talking about that. And I think that that's an underlying issue that we have to deal with.
They call it gender side.
He said, Griff said gender side.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel as that, what you're talking about, is connected directly to
the religion of Islam. A lot when you hear about women being subjugated to insubordinate positions in society, or slavery, or just different things in a demeaning role, people often say, you know, oh, that's Muslim woman. They gotta cover their whole damn body. They can't show nothing, or damn, they can't do nothing, or they can't even speak to their man, or they can't even look their man in their eyes. Opposed to American women who are more, in the forefront, they're more able to express themselves. So do you feel as though this is a religious thing?
Well, let's be clear, brother. When we look at American women, we can definitely pinpoint plenty across races, ages, plenty of women who are being raped, abused, murdered, every negative aspect of gendercide, if you will, that's going on across the globe is happening in the United States. And just because women are free to dress as they want to does not mean that the patriarchal European mindset is not still dominant in this country. So there's plenty of Christian men who are misusing and abusing women in the United States. There's Muslim men that are using and misusing women in the United States. There's Pan-African men who are using and abusing black women in the United States. So, no, I don't think it's a Muslim thing, but I do think that the media puts that in the forefront.
Right.
Some of the peaceful, you know what I'm saying, men that are Muslims, and especially when you talk about Muslims that's taught by Elijah Muhammad, when you talk about brothers who are on their square and who are righteous towards the women and edify the women. So, no, it's definitely not an Islamic thing, but we have to be really mindful when we search the media and look at how they're presenting this. They are putting Islam at the forefront. And when you start seeing them talking about, you know, they said Allahu Akbar, that's when my horns go up. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, okay, wait a minute. Obviously, there's something more going on here. This is programming that's happening.
Right. Now, like I told Griff in the beginning of the show, Sister Zaza, we have a lot of people listening to the show. Not everybody agrees with 100% of the things you say, I say, or Griff says. So, you know, the questions that are asked, they have to come from all perspectives. Now, this question comes from somebody who listens to the show. Email me. They want to know, are we giving white supremacy too much power? Every time something goes wrong, it seems as though we blame white supremacy, Sister Zaza. Why are we blaming white supremacy for everything that goes wrong in this world? Are we giving them too much power?
No, we're not giving white supremacy enough attention. It's not a question of are we giving it too much power. We're not giving it enough attention. See, the problem is we're playing checkers in a world of chess. White people have been studying our people thoroughly since they came out of the hills and cave sides of Europe. They have been studying us thoroughly since they came out of the caves and hillsides of Europe. We have not been studying them, and that's the problem. We do not know the global impact of 400-plus years of free labor. This was the leg up. This is why they're so advanced. And every different dynamic of society between religion, education, economics, prison industrial complex, every different facet of society, racism, white supremacy is right there at the root of it. Now, with that being said, we also have to be balanced in our assessment and take responsibility for ourselves. That's why when I opened up, I said, yes, of course, racism, white supremacy is playing a role in this, but at the same time, we have to look at Africa and look at Nigeria and deal with the dysfunction there, deal with the lack of action there, deal with the fact that we're still calling on white people. Yeah, we're talking about racism, white supremacy, but when the shit the fan, we're calling on white people. That's a problem.
Right.
But until we go to the root of the problem, we can't. We come up with real, full-fledged solutions, and this is why everybody's standing back, scratching their head. Everybody says they have a solution, but none of them have worked yet. So when we study Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, when she teaches us that our people outnumber Caucasians by 11-1 on a global scale, and that everywhere the white people went, they found our people, this is why they systematically have to decapitate our people. We have to acknowledge that. Until we acknowledge that, we're never going to be on the board actually playing the game that they're playing. Capitalism is a branch of racism, white supremacy. It requires land, labor, and capital. Do we have land? No. Do we have capital? No. So where does that leave us? As laborers, this is a branch of racism, white supremacy. So anybody coming in my face talking about we need to be talking about economics, you need to stop talking about racism, white supremacy, then you start talking about capitalism and how we're going to benefit. No, that's the problem right there. You're thinking with the white man's mind. We need to rewind and go back to the original self. I'm going to let Griff answer that, but I think that that's a problem that most of our people don't really understand. Neely Fuller Jr. said, until you understand racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything else you think you understand will only confuse you.
So, Brother Rich, coming off of what Zaza just said, if we're talking about giving them, and just to answer your question directly, we're talking about giving racism, white supremacy too much power. The person that asked that question, I guess they have sat back and did the research and the study and to know how much power racism, white supremacy already has. And if that person can adequately define the depth and the circumference of racism, white supremacy, we don't need to do this show anymore. You need to talk to him.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Simply because every time we do a show, we could go to the crux and to the root of what we're talking about right now, and we will bump right smack dab into racism, white supremacy. Dr. Wade Nobles said, power is the ability to define reality and to have other people respond to your definition as if it was their own. And this is very real. So we have to be able to be sensical enough and clear in what we're saying when we define these terms and the language of racism, white supremacy. Hold on.
Right. Let me just say, Brother Rich, you know, I think instead of approaching it from that direction, let's ask ourselves and let's ask the person who posed that question to you and everybody that's going to listen to this, has a war been declared on our people or not? Have Europeans declared a global as well as American Europeans declared a war on our people or not? And if we come up with a yes answer to that question, then that's a foolish question for somebody to pose, in ignorance or not.
So let's be clear in what she just said. It will be a foolish question for that individual to ask whether or not are we giving racism, white supremacy, too much power. So let's be very clear. So when we talk about the language of racism, white supremacy, when you hear, like Zaza said, when you hear aspects of the script written and performed by CIA operatives, guns being
right.
fired in the air, brand new AK-47s with brand new uniforms, making videotapes and press statements. That's the script, man. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So do you feel as that this group, Boko Haram, I believe the name is this going to be the next? Is this going to be the next Al-Qaeda where we see videos surface every other month about them talking shit about America?
Well, you know something? Each president has to create the boogeyman, all right? Now, I'm going to say this. I don't know whether it's going to inflame the listeners, but I'm saying if what's the character's name, Barry Davis? President Barack Obama put on the New York Times cover as being the first gay president. He's put on the cover of magazines across this country and newspapers as the drone warrior. You mean to tell me the spy network that America has, starting with the DOD and the Pentagon, moving its way and having a relationship with the National Security Agency, have already tapped the phones of European leaders across the globe. You mean to tell me the sophisticated spy team listening to and hijacking some phones, some of the phones of people that were already willing and ready and able and willing to bring down in Nigeria, calling them corrupt. They have all the data and all of the information, all right? They gave Boko Haram the script. Look at what the term means, Boko Haram. Western education is sinful. That's some kindergarten CIA shit, man.
Right,
what,
right.
Why would you name your organization Western Education is Sinful?
Right.
Unless you're getting Western education. So listen, it says the seemingly tractable nature of Boko Haram outrage has prompted a lot of questions from Nigerians. Wait a minute. Nigerians are asking the question, who are these people? Wait a minute now. What are their concerns? Did we get a list? Did we get our concerns? Are we want land? We want gold? They want 2,000 naira, which is $12. I don't mean to laugh, man, but come on, Rich. Let's be real. You kidnapped over 300 girls, and all you asked for was $12 a head?
Wow.
There's a problem with that, man. There's a problem with that coupled with the uniforms and the guns, shooting the guns in the air, yelling Allahu Akbar. You understand what I'm saying? I see then to have the news sources, all of them read the same script coming from the Associated Press. Islamic terrorist, code words, Islamic terrorist, yeah. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Extremists, terrorists. Over and over and over until they beat you down with it. And then, after they kidnap them, Nigerian government does nothing. And check this out. Then they turn around and kidnap 8 more, as though the 300 that they kidnapped wasn't enough. Okay, and then when you really look into the story, it says, wait a minute, this happens all the time. So how come a defense force wasn't set up? All right? Now, we have to be careful when, here it is in front of me, you have to be careful when people say, authorities said the new figure of missing girls is 223. That's an old figure. Could grow as police fill spotty school enrollment records. Will somebody please get CNN headline news Nancy Grace on the case? Why are we always calling on white people?
Well, let me ask you this, Professor Griff. A lot of people feel as though, here in the U.S., a lot of people go missing every year, especially black females. According to statistics, I don't know how accurate they are, but according to statistics, a lot of black females go missing. Why do you think there hasn't been a large media campaign on all the missing people here at home? Because a lot of people feel as though we're giving energy overseas, but we need to be focused on the missing people that are here at home. Why do you think there hasn't been a media blitz on that?
I think simply because, and I'm sure Zaza can come behind me and answer this, what is the black woman worth? What would you gain? Who's going to miss them? You understand what I'm saying? And this is very real. Even when we talk about young girls coming up missing, there was a sister kidnapped and missing in Baltimore. Relisha Rudd. And until we are concerned about our own children, you understand what I'm saying? The world is going to look at us like, okay, well, they don't care about themselves. So no one's going to go. Listen, let me tell you something, man. The way they look at black women in America is almost disgraceful, man. They feel the black woman in America is out of control, can't tell her nothing, loud, boisterous, and a few other adjectives. All right? So this is why when you hear this whole idea of the term that they keep, the trigger word that they keep using, extremist, all right, to put a woman in some civilized clothes, to teach a woman, all right, to curb a woman's wild nature, so to speak, the way they're viewing it. That's extreme for Christians in America. But when you really look at the flip side of it, what the Christians are doing is very, very, very extreme. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be careful of code words married to one another, invented by some freckle-faced white CIA agent at the Pentagon or Langley. You understand what I'm saying? We have to be very careful with this. So why is it the media making a big ado behind black women being kidnapped, not in Africa but in America? Maybe Zaza can deal with that.
Well, in 2013, 230,000 black people in America went missing.
Say that number one more time, Sister Zaza.
230,000 black men, women, and children went missing in the United States of America in 2013.
That's a large number. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Of those 230,000, 170,000 of them were children. That's 1 year. Let's also look at the fact that since 1975, almost 300,000 black men, women, and children have been murdered in the United States. We can talk about police murders. We can talk about black-on-black crime. Let's put that to the side for a minute. There is a gross lack of sympathy, lack of empathy, lack of care, lack of concern, lack of anything for black people in America. It's national and it's global as well. Now, to speak on the fact that this story is getting so much attention and that black people are putting a lot of energy and effort into this story. For one, it is Africa. It's the motherland. Those are our people. We're going to be concerned no matter where our people are suffering. That's the nature of us as a people. But the biggest thing about this is that it's being sensationalized, that it's picked up traction in the media, and that black people follow the trends of what the United States media is talking about. So when we talk about the black girls and the black boys that are missing in the United States, our people won't really talk about that until the media picks it up.
Right, okay.
Our people will talk about the Kendrick Johnsons and the Trayvon Martins. The stories that are sensationalized in the media will pick up on it.
Right.
So now the trending bring back our girls hashtag has picked up steam. So now, like I said on the show last week, Facebook and Twitter posts are revolution now. You're a revolutionary when you go online and make a statement about something that's important. Remember Kony 2012?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how that story picked up so much traction, not even realizing that the video had been made years before. The media put it out there, and people jumped on it. Now all of a sudden people are concerned with orphans and child rebels in Africa. You weren't concerned about it before. So the media, the way that they sensationalize stories, our people grab onto it. That's not to say that this isn't a story that's worthy of our attention, but all of the stories are worthy of our attention. I just said 230,000 black people went missing. 230,000.
Well, being that you said that, Zaza, now I've received a lot of comments from African Americans, you know, in New York, that all over the country, you know, in New York, and some phone calls about this story, that feel as though, you know, and I don't want to seem divisive by asking this, but they feel as though the blacks here in America always want to fight for everybody all over the world. We always want to fight and protest and march, but when it's our turn, the Africans don't fight and march and protest and march for us. When things are happening to us, it seems as though we're just fighting for ourselves. So a lot of the blacks in America want to know, why are we always quick to defend other groups when they're not defending us? If that is even true. But it was just a question that has been posed numerous times to me, to the point where I felt as though it was necessary to ask you and Professor Griff.
And it's a valid question. Let's be clear. Black people in America are asking the white government to go and help black people in Nigeria. We aren't in a position here to gather our forces, to gather our military, to put our money together, and to go to Nigeria and actually do something about it. So we're signing petitions. We're trying to bring you know, bring traction to the story. We are marching outside of local and government buildings. That's the energy that we're putting towards it, and that energy is warranted. To think of a young sister being kidnapped and raped, and no matter where it is in the world, it does deserve our attention. But we are so desensitized to our own suffering here. We have black people that are more focused on Asian issues and Europe and, you know, feminist issues. You got black sisters siding with feminists now. They'll take up the feminist banner but won't really deal with the fact with black-on-black crime, black-on-black murder, economic issues here. So we have been so thoroughly desensitized to our own suffering here as a people that you're right, we will pick up a global cause before we stand back and fight for our own people here. And it's absolutely bewildering, especially to people like us who are screaming at the top of our lungs every day, we need help, we need help. We can't get you to help us, but you want to talk about a problem that's going on 10,000 miles away. That's an issue.
I mean, it's Brother Rich, it's so much of an issue that until Angelina Jolie makes a press statement and puts it out and goes on record, because Angelina Jolie and a half a dozen white women that I can name off the top of my head and doing some research have went over there and have adopted black babies. So now when Angelina Jolie comes and says something, now we have to give it media attention because she said it. You understand what I'm saying? And those well-to-do, well-dressed, well, ill-informed, trained Negroes that's always defense attorneys for white people always have to jump on the bandwagon. These blogites that want to write blogs and waiting for the juicy story to write about jumped on this man like white on rice. It says Los Angeles to hold a Bring Back Our Girls rally on Monday, May 5th, 6 p.m. at the intersection of Crenshaw and King Boulevard. Wait a minute. Right in the hood, but where was the rally for the sisters that came up missing? Where was all of the rallies? And then rallies are good because you need to bring attention to it. That's absolutely fine. But like Zaza said, the new revolutionary act now is making a YouTube clip or putting up a post on Facebook or Instagram picture or like Twitter is tweeting something. It says when Nigeria does something or says anything considered remotely homophobic, the world reacts. Americans, particularly white gay Americans, get beside themselves and do everything but fly to Nigeria to put a stop to it. All right? But now, so what is America's excuse for the silence of the kidnapping of 300 Nigerian girls? By Boko Haram militants, all right, who was created by the CIA. Listen, brother, this is not some secret stuff that you got to go far to research. Go on Wikipedia. Nobody is talking about that. These people were trained, armed, and financed by the CIA to kidnap political figures in Nigeria to hold them ransom, all right, to destabilize that particular government, mainly because of the oil. How come no one's bringing this point up? Not to mention that the government was warned that there were 200 militants headed towards this particular town. They were warned. And so this is very real. So when we talk about the media, we have to understand what is the role of the media, and then deeper than that, who controls the media? And this is a point that we need to at least underline so people can understand this.
You know, when the story came out about the kidnapping, you know, several theories went up in the air about what might happen to these young females. Two of the more popular ones were sex trafficking, and the other one was, you know, organ harvesting or organ selling. And I've been hearing for years about organ trafficking. And when, you know, a lot of teachers talk about it, Delbert Blair, Phil Valentine,
Dick Gregory, a lot of brothers and sisters have talked about it. Chris Wilson. They say that the organs of black people are worth much more than the organs of any other race. Now, of course, when the average now, this is the internet. This is like, you know, this is not a special community who knows everything that's going on. So when people hear this, people are like, well, why the hell would melanin organs be worth more than any other organ? I don't get it. Are these people infatuated with race once again? So my question to you is, I've heard Dick Gregory talk about it for years. Why would melanin-dominated individuals, why would their organs be worth much more than the average person in this market, this organ harvesting market? And what? Because people, there's so many theories about why were they kidnapped? Why are so many people missing? People say, well, shit, they need the organs. They need them. They need it for their medicine. They need this. They need the melanin. They need to stay alive. So could you go into a little science of this melanin thing so people could understand what's going on with that?
Well, under it. Well, we're gonna dive into this melanin thing. Know and understand that when the so-called leader of Boko Haram made his first statement via video, he said basically, in essence, there's a market for selling humans off to be married, either in Chad, Cameroon, are off to other militants to marry them, not rape them, not sex traffic, not any of that. Okay, we have to pay attention to the language once again. All right, and while Zaza answers this, we're going to go deeper into the melanin thing. But no one understands the information that we have in front of us. It says Boko Haram is a CIA operation. I mean, I'm trying to keep my temperament.
I hate, at
a level where people can understand. Do people understand what this is saying? Al Qaeda was a computer program that they turned into the world's notorious terrorist organization, Islamic terrorist organization. How did that happen? The media, right or wrong?
Right.
And we need to understand it. So whether it's sex trafficking, marrying them off to Arabs or other militants, extremists, or whomever, wrong is wrong. But listen, the CIA always creates the organization, the boogeyman, and the CIA always writes the script. And I'm going to say this and be very, very clear. In order for them to pull off this particular operation, Boko Haram, which is a CIA covert operation, all right, launched against the political figures in Nigeria, you have to have the pretext. What is the pretext? No one in any of this information, no one even mentioned their demands. Normally you hear, well, we want our brothers, comrades that you have in your prisons released, right? Normally
yeah.
You hear some gigantic pretext, something that we would think is almost impossible to do. We're not hearing that at all, all right? All we're hearing is that the Islamic group kidnapped them, and the primary goal is to create pure Muslim state ruled under the Sharia law. That, and we're not even really hearing that. I'd be hard-pressed to believe that these cats are even Muslim.
Wow.
What is the primary religion in Nigeria? And then what is the primary language that's spoken? All right? So we have to kind of look at this now and see whether or not if this is just the Hegelian dialectic principle being played out right in front of our eyes. Problem, reaction, solution. Mm-hmm. Let's dive into this melanin thing.
Well, brother, the space shuttle that goes out beyond the Earth's atmosphere and into space is coated with a synthetic form of melanin. You can go into Walmart or Walgreens and find melanated glasses. Melanin regenerates. melanin can be recharged by the sun. So when we have ailments and when we have mental ailments, physical ailments, melanated people can be recharged by simply going out and going into the sun. We are actually innately and intrinsically a part of the universe. Our physical makeup is in line and in tune with the universe. The sun is our friend. So when you drink chlorophyll from plants, that's melanin from plants. It rejuvenates your body.
Okay.
When you go out into the sun rejuvenates your body. This is why they have chemtrails now, and they're blocking the sun so that the vitamin, so that we will become vitamin D deficient. So everything that is within the physical of the black body is in tune with the solar system, is in tune with the planet. This is why black organs are worth more money, because when you take those black organs on, you take on that power, rejuvenated and recharged. They know that. Europeans know that. They know that. That's why they put that. We're talking about black carbon when we talk about melanin and the chemical substance that they used, the synthetic substance that they used to put on the spaceship. So if you think about the ability to go out into, out beyond the atmosphere and into space, and you needing melanin in order to do that, if you think about that, it makes perfect sense that they will want melanated organs from our people to put inside of their own system in order to be able to regenerate their bodies, to keep from having to deal with certain ailments and diseases. If you study Layla Africa, he has a book called Melanin. He also has a lecture called Melanin. Our bodies can be replenished just by us eating certain foods and being in the sun. We don't even need Western medicine, but we're so far off from where we're supposed to be, eating pork and eating a European diet, that our bodies have degenerated. But naturally, just being melanated people, our pineal gland secretes melanin. Europeans usually have a calcified pineal gland by the age of 20, starts at the age of 12. So by the age of 20, that pineal gland, which is connecting us to the universe, to the cosmos, I don't want to get too far off into metaphysics, but that by 20, Europeans have a calcified pineal gland. For us, it's just regenerating. And every time we go out into the sun, it's regenerating and it's revitalizing our bodies.
That's why the chemtrails.
That's why they have chemtrails. That's why they've come up with so many different methods of trying to kill our people off. And people say, well, they're spraying chemtrails on everybody. Everybody's eating the same food. Yes, but it affects us differently.
And further, brother, it says here that melanin's main properties, it absorbs, stores, and transforms energy.
Right.
And white people understand that we have this particular power. This is why we say every single day, every time, we know that this information is going out to our people, that we're gods and goddesses having a human experience. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we're the only ones that connect to dark matter, black matter. You understand what I'm saying? Black melanin, it says, can convert light energy to sound energy and back again, meaning that all you have to do is go out a few hours into the sun and kiss the sun, and you can store that energy and use it some other time. That's money in the bank. Are you following me? So obviously somebody want to do something with black women and know something about black young girls between certain ages that we don't know about in Africa. We failed to ask the question. Why not kidnap black men? What are they doing with the women? You understand what I'm saying? So melanin is black because the chemical structure allows no energy to escape. It's also black because black is the perfect absorber of light and all energy frequencies. We can operate on any frequency, making black melanin the super absorber of energy and light. And this is very, 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 very key. And even when you look at the whole idea of kissing the sun and the sun hitting those melanocytes in the black skin and producing a thing called vitamin D, right? This is very, very key. And like Zaza said, white people know this. The wise ones among white people, they know this. The ignorant ones might say, well, They don't want anything to do with black people. They don't want no black organs. Them old-ass white crackers, they know. They need these black organs to stay alive.
Right, right.
And Dick Gregory lays it out. It says melanin can rearrange its chemical structure to absorb all energy across the radiant energy spectrum: sunlight, X-rays, music, sound, radar, radio waves, and it can transmute and store this particular energy. Can you imagine that? You biting into an apple. Zaza had me lick a lemon a minute ago. She said, "Does this taste normal?" I'm like, "Nah, this don't taste like no damn lemon." You understand what I'm saying? You know how you leave the lemon out and it turns brown?
Yeah.
That brown, that's melanin to heal, coming to the rescue. When you listen to a sound and a beat, let me tell you something, man. I'm not really down with Mobb Deep and what they're saying on some of their songs, but when you hear Shook Ones, you understand what I'm saying? That beat hits that melanin in the inner ear, and we hear stuff that no other people on the planet hear. We hear the missing beat, the missing sound, and we fill it in. Nobody else on the planet can do that. Brother Rich, we're gods and goddesses having a human experience, all right, called you.
I appreciate that breakdown, man, I'm going to tell you, because it's profound and it's amazing, but it's simple enough for anybody to understand. So for anybody who's having problems understanding the complex language of metaphysics, there's no reason why they shouldn't understand what you and Zaza just said. So I thank you, too, for that breakdown and analysis. And before we wrap it up, I have I want to ask you one more thing. Just to explain what when this came out and this story came out, a couple of people mentioned AFRICOM. Could you go in a little bit about AFRICOM, just in case anybody has questions or anybody never heard of it? Could you just go into a little bit of that?
Well, I wrote about AFRICOM in my book on analytics, and I put it in there for a reason, simply because I was trying to shed some light on who is this man, Barry Davis, Barack Obama, Soros, or whatever his name is, whatever they like to call him. And I talked about the CIA's insertion of Barack H. Obama Jr. into the White House. So when I mentioned AFRICOM, I said in these words, I said Barack Obama is going to sign off on multinational corporations going back to recolonize Africa through the United States Africa Command, which is AFRICOM. AFRICOM hooked up with the ACRI, Africa Crisis Response Initiative, all right? And they are the ones that's supposed to be protecting vital interests, all right? A multinational corporation coming in to purchase land, set up business. In other words, to recolonize Africa. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have to understand United States Africa Command. This is what Zaza is talking about when she says we have to be very careful about calling Britain and London, calling D.C. and America, white people to come back in to help us with our internal affairs. They will set up AFRICOM. They will set up the United States Africa Command, and they will be there, and they will set up a perpetual state of chaos on the African continent, and they'll play both sides, and they'll control it like they're doing now via this made up group called Boko Haram, which is a CIA covert operation. You understand? I mean, you have to follow who these people are. You have to follow exactly what is the duties and the agenda of AFRICOM. Now, I wrote this book 5 years ago, and no one has called me on it yet. We talk around African Command, the United States African Command. Listen, it's the United States African Command in conjunction with Britain and other countries, all right? They have army bases and military bases, pardon me. They are right in Africa to deal with kidnappings. But they're the same ones that are forming these particular so-called Islamic extremist groups, the one financing them to do the kidnapping. AFRICOM is not going to move.
They're not going to move. They're going to be slow to move. And I wouldn't be surprised if some politicians are in bed with some of these same CIA operatives that are operating through the United States Africa Command, which is AFRICOM.
Wow.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, brother. There's a report today on FoxNews.com. It says a small team of U.S. military personnel will arrive in Abuja, Nigeria, in the coming days to help find hundreds of schoolgirls kidnapped by Islamic terrorists, the Pentagon said Wednesday. The team will be composed of roughly 10 uniformed soldiers from AFRICOM headquarters in Stuttgart, Germany. They will be logistics and communications experts who will assess the situation and advise Nigerian officials, Pentagon spokesman said. It goes on to say the Nigerian government is offering a $300,000 reward for information leading to Sheikha, who is the leader of Boko Haram, for his capture. The United States is offering a reward of up to $7 million for information leading to his location. Not leading to his capture, leading to his location. We have to really watch the wording and what they're saying. Why would they be offering that type of money for the location? Are they going to send a drone over there to take him out? That's what we really need to be asking ourselves when we read these stories. But there's that website that I told you about before. It's wordpress.com. I'm going to read this to you so people can look it up. It's wonuolatahjden.files.wordpress.com. It says, in December 2011, an Algerian-based CIA wing gave out 40 million naira as a planned long-term partnership with Boko Haram with pledge to do more. On June 29, 2009, a United States cable leaked by WikiLeaks showed that the CIA public predicted the onslaught of deadly terrorist attack by Boko Haram even 2 months before Boko Haram started terrorist action. They're planning this. It goes on to talk about the role of the United States government and their goal to destabilize Nigeria. They have politicians there who they have their phones, their computers bugged, and they use that information to turn them inside out to make them start working with the CIA. Now, Nigeria is the richest African continent as far as oil is concerned.
Country, as far as oil is concerned.
Does that have anything to do with this story? We don't know. But oil was struck in Nigeria June 1956. Since then, the government has made $1.6 trillion, and the average Nigerian is living on less than $2 a day. Is that related to this story? I don't know. But this is a teaching moment for our brothers and sisters.
And we have to go further on to say that if you create the condition in Nigeria for the politicians, all right, to become and put them in a condition to be corruptible, it is easy to come with money to pay them off and bribe them. These are the same damn dirty tricks that the CIA has been using across the globe. Across the globe, man. It says spy files at WikiLeaks documents indicate that the SS8, a surveillance company in the U.S., was producing viruses called the Trojans that hijack individual computers and phones. And the phones that they listed are the iPhone, BlackBerry, and Android. Take over the device, record its every use. It records its every use, its movement, GPS, info, and even sights and sounds in the room. It turns the microphone on. And the leader of Boko Haram is making fucking videos, music videos and shit. Come on, man.
Wow.
It says in its eavesdropping games on Nigerian politicians, thus detecting corrupt practices, as good as they may sound, but whichever politician refused to hijack policies in favor of the U.S. was made to face financial espionage or corruption charges. They're bribing them because they tapped their phone. This is the kind of sticky, dirty tricks that the CIA has always played. But I'm telling you, man, as we close this, we have to become and adopt a revolutionary spirit, all right?
We have to be scientists, saints, and I'll leave the last one off, but we have to be revolutionaries. You understand what I'm saying? Revolution is complete, constructive, conscious, cosmic change. It says here, all right, revolution is not an activity for whiners. Where's all the people, the clamoring, all the people that have been talking about Africa, that always go back 5 and 10 thousand years to talk about Africa, but no one talks about Africa today? They could run down the history, what God is, what deity, and what whatever. But no one talks about Africa today. It says revolution is not for individuals too caught up in their own complaints to rebel. They don't have the latest cell phone, so they can't become revolutionaries. I got to put my revolutionary spirit on hold because I need the new iPad. Revolution is not something we decide to take on to impress anyone or accept our ancestors and our children. If we took on that revolutionary spirit, brother, then we'd protect the children. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Revolution is not a hobby or an avocation. It is not a game. Revolution is not televised broadcast from a soapbox or a podium or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Revolution is not a walk in, sit in, stand in, or lay in. Revolution is not reform. Revolutionaries do not waste their time trying to recast or remake an incorrigible evil in a kinder, gentler image. Revolution is not the work of adult children trained in the art of quitting at the first sign of difficulty. Revolution is not an option for self-integrationists lost in their glory and in the bedrooms of our eternal enemy. Can't be a revolutionary laying between the legs of Becky Asaflat or some fat cracker. Are you following me? Revolution
gotcha.
Is not a going debate. There ain't nothing to fucking debate. Revolution is bloody, as Malcolm said. Giving our historical situation, revolution is a naturally occurring phenomenon. Revolutionaries are the people we naturally become as we uncover the seriousness and of the war against us and decide that this torment will be no more. We have to become revolutionaries. There's no cheerleaders and there's nobody sitting on the sideline. The revolution in its nature will drag you in it whether you're prepared for it or not. That's why we're discussing 300 black, beautiful young girls being kidnapped tonight, brother. And this will make you become a revolutionary, whether you want to or not. It says, in the last days, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. The Holy Quran says that all of the pens or the trees were pens and all of the seas were ink. You can never exhaust the words of Allah because all of Allah's words are not in the book. They're in the universe, and they should be in our revolutionary spirit.
Right. I think this is the most passionate I see a Griff during our segments, all our shows. Griff is on fire tonight.
I
Griff,
don't
you all right?
Much to say.
You all right, Griff? Griff on fire tonight, man.
This is a serious brother right here. A lot of these black men walking around talking about liberation and revolution need to be taking notes.
Right.
And on that note, you can reach us at MindsMatter, MindsMatterBTRS@gmail.com. We air on blogtalkradio.com/MindsMatter every Tuesday and Thursday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking about all of the conditions and situations affecting our people here and around the world. You can hit Grip Up at 678-557-2919, and we are both on Facebook. I'm at Zaza Ali, and you can hit us up at Enemy Minds Radio or ex-minister Prof. Griff on Facebook. We appreciate you, brother, as always, for your time and for giving us this platform to get our message out to our people and to the world.
Well, we're sending in a team made up of our military and law enforcement and other experts. And we're very glad that Nigeria's accepted the help. Obviously, what's happening is awful.
President Obama is sending 80 U.S. troops to Nigeria's eastern neighbor, Chad, to help find 276 Nigerian schoolgirls kidnapped by Islamist terrorists. Obama, who made the announcement in a letter Wednesday to House Speaker John Boehner, described their mission as mainly surveillance support, such as operating drones. These personnel will support the operation of intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance aircraft for missions over northern Nigeria and the surrounding area, the letter said. Representative Ed Royce, chairman of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, welcomed the troop deployment, which he said is vital in generating actionable intelligence for the search.
The United States is sending troops to Chad in a move to locate scores of kidnapped girls in neighboring Nigeria. President Barack Obama says the troops will conduct intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance operations over northern Nigeria. He says military personnel will stay in Chad until their service is no longer needed. The U.S. has already dispatched a team of intelligence experts, law enforcement agents, and military personnel to Nigeria over the issue. The girls were abducted by Boko Haram Takfiri militants last month. The group is also responsible for a number of bombing and shooting attacks in northern Nigeria. To discuss that a bit further, and I joined Mr. Lawrence Freeman, who is with the Africa Desk at the Executive Intelligence Review, and he's joining us live now from Leesburg. Mr. Freeman, thanks very much for joining us now. These troops in Chad, do you believe that they will be able to bring some semblance of normalcy and bring the Boko Haram militancy under control?
Well, I'm not sure. This is a major insurgency operation that whose motive could be the actual overthrow of the state of Nigeria or to bring it into chaos. And the West, there's a lot of hypocrisy on behalf of the Western governments who not only have refused to get involved in dealing with Boko Haram over a long period of time, but also have a shared responsibility in terms of the effects of the overthrow and regime change of Gaddafi has had a direct relationship to the increased capacity of Boko Haram. I mean, you have to look at the Saudi-London networks that have been funding these Salafists and Wahhabites now for many years in northern Africa, and now you're seeing the stabilization of the largest, most populated country in Africa. And I think we're a long way away from solving this problem.
And so going forward, Mr. Freeman, what do you believe needs to be done at this point? Because, you know, even the Nigerian government has been blamed for a lot of incompetency, even in the areas where Boko Haram is active, such as many of the issues that have been the root cause of why Boko Haram has now become so strong.
Well, you look at some of the root causes, and you have absolute poverty in northern Nigeria. I've been there many times. And what you have is you have no jobs, no hope, no future for these young kids who go to Quranic schools, and they can get paid to join Boko Haram or Ansaru, and they can make money, and they're totally alienated and divorced from society. The West has played no role in actually building Nigeria up into being a sovereign nation state. The Royal Dutch Shell, oil interests and others have destroyed the country. And this is the consequence of a lack of development over many decades, the same problem in Central African Republic and in other parts of Africa. So these root problems are not going to be solved overnight, and a military solution is a very difficult one in these parts of the world. We haven't made any progress on finding the Lord's Resistance Army in the Congo and Central Africa. So there's no simple solution, and the West's response is very little, very late, and they're part of the problem. At least probably caused the problem.
So is there any hope at the end of the tunnel? Do you believe the Nigerian government maybe will finally be pushed to act?
Well, clearly what drove the process was not the government, not Goodluck Jonathan, and not the United States. It was the media campaign on the kidnapping of these girls, which took place on April 14th, the first signs of the State Department contacting the government was May 1st, so that's over 2 weeks, and the military didn't begin sending people over until the beginning of the first week of May. So there was not a very good response, and the government went through all kinds of shenanigans trying to even deny it took place. The military is very underpaid. They're undermanned. They've not been maintained. And you're seeing the result of the conditions of a lack of building up the Nigerian economy, the lack of infrastructure, the lack of energy. And so the whole country right now is in very poor shape, and it's not clear. I don't think we're near the end of this insurgency. I think it's not, even if the girls are rescued or found, I think there's a long period ahead until this gets resolved.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now, but of course we do appreciate you speaking to us. That was Lawrence Freeman speaking to us live from Leesburg. The United States is sending troops to Chad in a move to locate scores of kidnapped girls in the United States is sending troops to Chad in a move to locate.
Well, we're sending in a team made up of our military and law enforcement and other experts, and we're very glad that Nigeria's accepted the help. Obviously, what's happening is awful.
President Obama is sending 80 U.S. troops to Nigeria's eastern neighbor, Chad, to help find 276 Nigerian schoolgirls kidnapped by Islamist terrorists. Obama, who made the announcement in a letter Wednesday to House Speaker John Boehner, described their mission as mainly surveillance support, such as operating drones. These personnel will support the operation of intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance aircraft for missions over northern Nigeria and the surrounding area, the letter said. Representative Ed Royce, chairman of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, welcomed the troop deployment, which he said is vital in generating actionable intelligence for the search.
From Los Angeles, I'm Tavis Smiley on the all-new Tavis Smiley Network on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Tavis Talks. Today's conversation should be fun because my guest is my dear friend Paul Mooney, who will be appearing this Saturday, the 20th, on his Black Man in the White House tour in Chicago, my favorite American city, at the Harold Washington Cultural Center. Two shows, one at 7 and one at 9 p.m. if you're in the greater Chicagoland area. Also, of course, appearing around the country this summer. He has touched your life, Paul Mooney has, and made it brighter in many ways, whether you know it or not, by writing for Richard Pryor and for Sanford and Son and, good Lord, so many other things on television. A big heart and a funny guy who joins us now from somewhere on the road. Where are you, Paul Mooney?
I'm in Chicago.
You're in Chicago already?
Yeah, I'm here already. We're trying to, you know, warm people up and let them know we're in town and let them know that we love them and let them know that we're all happy and that we're all free now. We're all free, including you. We're all free.
You know what? I'm going to jump right in. So you know the question that I want to ask. I'm not even going to ask you, but just give me your thoughts about it.
You mean all this shooting in the back stuff?
Yeah, that stuff.
This is new. This is what amazes me. This is brand new. This is old.
Mm-hmm.
This is not new. The shooting in the back. I thought that's what they did. To shoot black people in the back. I mean, if you run a make on them, and you'll see they've been doing that for a long time. This is no big deal. I don't know why everyone's acting like this is brand new.
Are they acting like it's brand new? Or are they acting like they can no longer tolerate it?
No, they're acting like it. They're acting. You know, they're acting. We're all acting, and I'm glad that it happened. I'm not glad that people died, but I'm glad that it happened because it freed all black people in America. It woke us up. I'm totally free. I'm the freest black man on the planet now.
I wouldn't argue that, but you've been that way for quite some time. You and Pryor.
No, I wasn't free then. I was acting.
Yeah.
Now I can be honest about everything. I mean, I can tell everybody what I feel. They've given me a black credit card to say exactly what I want to say. I've been acting. I've been acting like I like you. I've been acting like I like a lot of people. Now I can be honest. I don't like you. There's a lot of people I don't like. You know, I don't even like me. I don't even like my white blood. I hate me. I look in the mirror and I curse me out.
How does one?
I'm free now. I'm the freest black man on this planet. I can stop acting. All this time I've been acting like I like white folks.
I can
tell them to their face I don't like them. I can tell them that their hair, when it gets water on it, they smell like horses. I can tell them that now.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, Paul. How does one go from acting to being free?
Yeah, well, we are psychologically. See, why people cut their nose off to spite their face is the Willie Lynch syndrome. It is to hold you down mentally, not physically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's to brainwash you so that you can brainwash other blacks. All black people are free now psychologically. They can all speak their mind now and not get in trouble. Thank you, Zimmerman. In spite of themselves, they feed us. And those stupid white women, those very dumb white women who know what discrimination is because they're female, okay? And all this stuff is just camouflage. It's to take out joy. It's to take with fear. I mean, Hitler did that, and the Republicans do that, and the Russians did that, and the Italians did that, because the Italians, well, people don't want to hear it, they were with Hitler. You know, they were like allies to Hitler for about 5 or 4 years. So no, fear can get everybody, but love conquers all. And I love the fact that now we got woke up. We can be free. We can say what we want to say about white people, about black people. You know, this is for everybody's children. Mm-hmm. We don't want anybody's child to be shot in the back. Okay?
That's right.
You know, and it's about black, white, green, yellow. It's about everyone. This is all a camouflage to take the power is in getting you to believe stuff. You know, that's an old Republican trick. And actually, there is no such thing as a Republican or a Democrat. It's all fake.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all on each other's side. You know?
Yeah.
They all act. They act. They get out and act. And then when they finish, they go to dinner and they discuss it. They said, oh, when you said, you know, you spoke from the heart and you cried, that was so dramatic. That was an Academy Award performance. And could we please go over my lines now and I can see if I can do that. I'm going to see if I can cry.
You know what? I think you're absolutely right about that. There's so little distinction between the left and the right these days in Washington. I'm not sure there's a left and a right anymore. There's just a middle. But, Paul, let me ask you something. I take your point about what you refer to as these stupid white women on the jury. That's the way you phrased it. I'm not going to ask you to explain, because you can't get inside their head, but how do you process the decision that these mothers, that these women came to about a child? Many of these women are mothers. How do you process that decision?
Out of fear, because they've been programmed. It's stepwise. They've been programmed. And it's not to do with the color of skin, because their skin is white and they couldn't vote. It's about power. It's about, listen, those people in Washington, D.C., I don't care who they are, they're all on each other's side, okay? They like money, and they like, that's what they like. They like money, they like power. They like money, and drugs. They all get high.
What's this verdict say, then, about power in America?
It says that America needs to be woke up. If you believe in conspiracy, America, that's why they always say God bless America. They know America, when it comes out of race. America is race. America feeds on race like a monster. And it's not even race that these white people upset with. They created this whole thing. They love every minute of it. They love it because they can do what they can do what they love doing, and that is tricking people and taking stuff from them.
How is it that of all the issues that can get people's ire raised, sex, politics, money, religion, why does race trump all of them?
Because it's in the DNA. You see, white comes from black. Black don't come from white. Within their, by white people's rules. Quarter moon, you know that, because I'm from, you know, that voodoo place from, you know, where I'm from New Orleans, the voodoo, you
mm-hmm.
know that, Sweetport,
mm-hmm.
where all the voodoo comes, where all the power comes, and they have made us powerful by their rules. Quarter moon, one drop of black blood makes you black, and one drop of white blood doesn't make you white. And white comes from black. It's self-hate. White people come from us. We don't come from them.
So
they hate themselves.
So earlier in this conversation, you suggested that we're all free now. Let me ask you this, because I've got my own take on it. You think Obama is free?
Who?
President Obama. Is he free? Is he a free
he's
black
half
man?
Free.
Is he a free black? Is he a free black
he's
man?
He's half free. He's half white, half black. He's half everything. And he's everybody's president. He's your president. He's my president. And the white folks should know that. They listen, white people should love their half because we sure love our half. So I said it. We're an experiment gone wrong. We're the experiment. We're the aliens. We're really the because we're an experiment gone wrong. It's nothing wise. They said the white ones are acting pretty good. He said, but them black ones are still killing each other, and they scare me.
Wow. So, Paul, a year ago, here's why I ask whether or not you think Obama is free, and I take your answer that he's half free. A year ago, it was Barack Obama's president who said, as you recall, that if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin. That's what he said, if I had a son. You can't get any more familiar than that. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. A year later, the verdict comes in. The president very calmly says, we are a nation of laws. Excuse me. The president says that the jury has spoken. We have to accept the verdict. Excuse me. A year ago, you said if you had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. This is awfully calm for a father.
Well, Obama was tripping, man. He was tweaking. Obama was probably smoking some weed. He was tweaking because we know who Obama looks like. You know who looks just like Obama. You know that Will Smith, he looks just like him. He got them big white man ears. They look like twins. You laughing because you know it's the truth.
I never thought about that.
Who does, say it. Don't try to hide it. Who does he look like?
Will Smith.
Yeah. Let's be real about this. You're free now. You're able to say it. You couldn't say that. You couldn't say that last year. You can say that now.
I couldn't say it.
They freed you.
I couldn't
That's
say
what it. He looks like.
I couldn't say it last week.
You'd have to keep that to yourself.
Speaking of Barack Obama, let me just ask, how did the White House get named anyway?
Well, the White House was named, you know how the White House was named. The White House was named by white folks. Because, you know, black people built the White House.
Right.
For free.
Yes.
For free. And, you know, that old black Joe went over there and told NASA, we finished building NASA. What you going to call it, NASA? NASA could have called it anything. The NASA just looked at him. I'm calling it the White House. I'll fix it. Could have called it anything, the greenhouse, you know, the outhouse, anything. But just had to call it the White House to upset us, to get us mad, to make us do stuff we shouldn't do, and to make us lazy. That's how lazy the N-word, that's how lazy, you know, I just say the N-word, that's how that came about. Because
mm-hmm.
since they're going to call it the White House, we're going to just be lazy and don't do nothing.
Mm.
So, you know, it's all, listen. It's all politically a setup, and we just have to roll up our sleeves. We have a lot of hard work to do, you know, and we define everything the way, you know, we don't have anything because we're mixing our blood to confuse us. We're all confused. And so we define everything by white folks, what they say, because we live in their world. We have to live in their world. They don't have to live in our world. We have to live in there to survive.
Yeah.
We know them better than they know us. I have a degree in whiteology. I studied them. I've always studied them.
Hey, Paul, how do you read these protests? Because, I mean, all around the country, because the protests have not been just black folk.
They have not been what?
They've not been just black folk in these protests.
Oh, well, you know, you have a lot of white folks that are on the down low. That love black people. They're on the down low, and they are for black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You know they call them in lovers. You know that.
Yes.
So they have to keep it. They have to keep it hidden. You know they got to keep stuff hidden. The way the black psychic has to hide stuff. You know, it's all about white psychics. You see it on TV, and the kids on the milk cartons. I have to cry and have my breakfast about some little missing white kids. I don't know why they got them kids on there. I'm tired of crying, missing little white kids. Last seen with, you know, a green hat, and now that was 20 years ago, and they should look like this. All that stuff is crazy. They should look for the parents because there's no such thing as the illegitimate children. There's only illegitimate parents. The kids don't ask to come here, okay?
That's right.
And they should put those parents on the bottle of whiskey bottles and Cavassier bottles and all that at the bar, and they can find them because they're somewhere drinking trying to forget they have kids.
Yeah.
And everybody knows, you know, it's like people go to jail on Mother's Day because they get out and steal and shoplift and rob and do all kind of stuff and murder for their mother. People don't go to jail on Father's Day. If you want somebody black, white, or green, or yellow to beat your butt, talk about their mama.
Yeah.
And they'll fight you, and you will get a butt whooping. Talk about their mama. You talk about their father, and they don't care.
Mm.
Tell them their father is a freak. They say, good, good. You know, that's the way it is. Mm. And everything's a setup. Everything's nothing happens by us by accident. You don't throw no jacks out, the cards don't lie. You know, just pull the cards. The cards don't lie. All this crap, you're using the race card and all this other crap. You know, there's a lot of cards in that deck. The race card. How did it get in the deck? I want to know how it got in there. There's a lot of cards. How did the race card get in the deck?
I hear you. Before
you know, they set it up. They're making it a part of our language. You know that.
Making what a part of our language?
The race card.
Oh yeah, it's part of the vernacular now.
Uh huh. Yeah.
It's part of the vernacular.
Yeah.
Before I close and remind people in the Chicago area where they can see you, I can't ever have a conversation with you without paying homage to that great artistic genius, Richard Pryor. I just saw I've seen it like 25 times now. I can't stop watching. Every time I turn the channel, Paul, and I see the Showtime documentary on Richard Pryor, I watch it all over again. Have you seen it?
I can't watch it because they're acting too much for me. They're sitting up there. These people are icons, so they have to behave a certain way now.
Right.
Okay? And when I knew these people, I sit there and I start throwing up. I get sick because when I knew them, they were just regular people, and they did things the way regular people do things.
Right.
You know, and now they have to talk a certain way and act a certain way and tell lies. They all sit there and lie. They just lie, 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 lie. They were a mess, you know. Them Kennedys and them people, they were some wild folks. You understand?
But Pryor was still the greatest, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's back in the day when I met Obama. That's when I first met Obama. Obama don't even remember that I met him back. Day in Hawaii.
Mm.
That's back in those wild days. And he told me he was going to be president. I thought he was crazy.
He said,
you don't know. You're hanging out with the president of the United States. I said, what? I thought it was a drug addict.
The tour is called.
I said, what president? Because, you know, everything was vanilla back then. And, you know, thinking there was a black man going to be president was like somebody that was a crazy person.
That is one of my great, my favorite all-time Richard Pryor sketches on the NBC. Was it NBC, the show, the Richard Pryor show?
Yeah.
The sketch of the first black president?
Isn't it scary? It's
scary. It's scary to watch that. I love that sketch, though, Paul.
It's scary. It is so eerie.
Yeah, it is.
I work with Richard Pryor's son, and when it was eerie and scary.
Mm. The tour is called Black Man.
He looks so much like Richard. It scares me. He's got Richard's eyes.
The tour is called Black Man in the White House, featuring the one and only Paul Mooney. If you are in the greater Chicagoland area, he will be appearing this weekend, Saturday night, the 20th. On his Black Man in the White House tour, the Harold Washington Cultural Center, two shows, one at 7, one at 9. I hate that I can't be in Chicago to get the whole show, but, Paul, I will see you on tour this summer, my friend.
Okay, and I will see you. And listen, it was so good hearing from you. You sound great. You sound so clear.
I'm free.
Yeah, you're free. But you really do. You really, your energy, your level, you sound free. Somebody saw you, and they said that you really look good and that you had really taken care of yourself.
Well, thank
you. Guess who nobody looks as good as?
Who?
That Berry Gordy. That Berry Gordy is scary. Have you seen him?
I saw him a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Doesn't he look like a baby in the face? They say he's a vegan. You know, what do they call him when they just...
Vegan, yeah.
No,
vegan.
But I think he's like my sons. I think he's an aeritarian. I think he just breathes. He just breathes air. Because doesn't he look great? Doesn't he look great? And guess who tries to think that they look like that, too? And then tries to pass himself off like he's so young.
Who?
The Reverend.
Who?
Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton.
Uh-huh. Sitting up there talking about, he says he's 60-something.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Al, please, your hair is 52. How are you going to be younger than your hair? That process is 52. And then he didn't lost all that weight, you know, that cocaine or whatever it is.
Hey, Paul. I'm out of here. I love you.
Listen, I know you're out of here. I know you get scared.
Yeah.
You get scared, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know I love Al, but Al tried to be young. You know, Al is old. Yeah, he hung out with Martin. Wouldn't Martin Luther King be about 100 now?
About 102, yeah.
Yeah, so Al hanging out with him when he was 5.
I'm getting out of here. I'm Tavis Smiley on the all-new Tavis Smiley Network on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today, Paul Mooney, catching this weekend in Chicago. Paul, I love you. Talk to you later, man.
Okay.
I'm Tavis Smiley. Until next time, keep the faith.
I'm sorry, everybody. My new producer had that tape flowing, and it was already programmed, so I really couldn't stop it. Griff be having a little interesting perspective on things. What we really got to see is what's really going on over there in Nigeria. We're pulling troops back from Afghanistan in the war in Iraq. Are we going to use those same troops and launch a military campaign over there in Nigeria? Not making no comparison, but Vietnam started like that with a couple of, what they call them? People they put on the ground. Advisors. I think it was called advisors. Not really troops. And we was over there. That was like way before Kennedy days. And we got stuck in Vietnam. I don't know what's really going on that Nigeria. I'm really looking into it deeply. You know, I'm quite sure the hostage situation that is surrounding the Nigerian girls will be explained a little bit later on. But, man, that's how stuff is in this world today. And, again, my schedule's been up and down, up and down. You know, it's hard running for a campaign, running a show, and trying to convince Democrats to look your way. I'm having a good time out here, and people are welcome to my ideas. They're not shutting their door on me, and it's as if being Republican in Chicago, that's not taboo no more. It seems to be the thing to do now, and that's cool too. So I'm about to wind this show up right here. This is Jimmy Lee Underground Radio, and again, everybody, good night. May your God be with you. Sorry for the short show. We'll be on again tomorrow with a full show. Thank you for being patient with me, everybody. Good night. May Yahweh be with you.